Now what I want you to do is to take it to Tuesday. Tuesday was a leadership team meeting. Now, a confession. Are you up for receiving a confession from a church leader? Okay, so look po-faced and get ready to tell me how many Hail Marys I'm going to have to do for this one. All right? Sometimes I don't want to go to meetings. Do you ever get that? Okay? Do you ever get that? Sometimes I look in my diary and I go, oh. Now, I have to say, sometimes I look in my meeting. All the people who are involved in meetings in this church are sort of smiling. I don't know if you're smiling because you feel like that or you're smiling because you know a time I've looked like I feel like that. But and you look in the diary, you see a meeting's coming up. And actually, most of the time, it's I don't feel ready for the meeting. You know, it's kind of like, right, I need a week to get ready for the stuff we're going to look at. Or I'm going to need a week to figure out what it is we're going to look at. Because like it or like it not, there's quite a lot of pressure on the only person in the room who's paid to do it to have an idea where things are going. So Tuesday came up. It was leadership team. We have Kirk Session at the top that are the overseers of the church, the wise stewards, the protectors of the DNA of the church. They're the ones who judge if it's of God and if it's good with them. And underneath the Kirk Session, there's this thing called the leadership team that are responsible for making sure that the decisions of the Kirk Session actually happen and also for passing new ideas, new initiatives, new possibilities, you know, perhaps difficulties that need dealt with back to the Kirk Session. So the leadership team is kind of like a management committee that way. And we met the leadership team on Tuesday. And as I say, I was going to that meeting with a kind of, oh, man, right, okay, we've got to do that, we've got to do that, we've got to do that, we've got to do that. And frankly, I felt about as fresh as three-day-old socks. I didn't. So got to the meeting. And we started to work our way through, and it was good, and it was okay. It was an all right meeting. And it's always lovely to meet with other people, you know. That does me good. Although it has been pointed out, I'm the only extrovert on our leadership team. So I get in the meeting and go, oh, great, there's people here. And all the other introverts are going, right, it's going to be hard. Lots of people here. We're going to do our work. We gather together, we gather around the word, and we start to dig in, which is going to be an operative verb, okay? The verb dig is going to be important, as you might have gathered. Okay. And we're chatting to and fro. And for some reason, I bring up something that's a bit of a tangent, as I do, you know, as Keith Tate does. You know, too many tangents, Mark, okay? And, well, seeing as we're talking about irrelevancies, says Alistair Dunlop, he says, the people who are staying with us last week, she gave me a link on YouTube to a guy called Jason Upton, I think his name was. And apparently in the recording, you can hear angels singing. Well, stop the bus. I mean, if there's a YouTube recording of angels singing, that's the agenda on the side. And I'm through in Alistair's office, rifling around to find his wireless router, getting the inscrutable code, scribbling it on my hand in indelible ink, and putting it in. And we listened to this. As it turned out, for 15 minutes, we listened to this. Now you're going, hang on a minute. How do you record angels? I mean, for a start, which company are they contracted to? Yeah. So this is the story very briefly. A guy called Jason Upton, who is a bit like me, he's got a beard and long hair, and he's kind of musical. Well, he's a little bit like me. And he's playing in a college in Louisiana. He's leading worship. It's this kind of worship concert thing. And they're recording it. And while they're playing, one of the musicians looks up and sees smoke right above him, okay? And this musician's at the side. He's got a mixing desk to help with the recording stuff. You got that? So he looks up, sees a wee cloud, and he thinks, the condenser from the air conditioner, because this is Louisiana, okay? The condenser from the air conditioner has got a problem. I'll get the Janny. So he gets the Janny, and the Janny looks at it and goes, there's no pipes up there. That's not where the air conditioning pipes are. And as soon as the Janny says that, this musician flops to the floor, okay? So the weighty presence of God, and you can read about this in 2 Chronicles 7, places like that, the weighty presence of God hits this musician, and he's down on the floor. In the meantime, a young lad, because they're kind of good at these things, comes up to the crumpled musician and says, "Mister, there's a 12-foot angel," because he's from Louisiana, so he sounds, you know, like he's from London. "Mister, there's a 12-foot angel at the back of the stage," right? Now, as far as we know, only the little boy could see the 12-foot angel, but underneath this cloud, this young lad could see a 12-foot angel. Okay, so you're going, "Oh, yeah, great." Okay. So the musician then starts hearing these sounds while this guy Jason is singing behind the main vocal, and the only person who's singing at this point is this guy Jason. Okay. I'm not going to play you it just now. Oh, you're all disappointed now. However, I will put the link for it on the Facebook page. Okay, so we'll send the link to Alan, or Alan, if you could dig the link up. If you want to look for yourself, if you look up Jason Upton Angels and Fly, you'll be able to look it up. But I'm looking, I know you got smartphones. Leave them at the moment, okay? Leave it till later. And you can hear behind Jason's voice this kind of sonorous, kind of otherworldly sound. It's wow. So we listen to that, and the leadership team are suddenly in a moment with God. It just happens that way. You may have thoughts about that. I don't think that can happen. I really don't. I mean, that's terrible. But we were in a moment with God. So we're sat around the table just soaking in the worship. And as the worship's happening, I get a picture. Okay, I get a picture. And the picture I get is of water pouring over hands, okay? Like you're washing your hands. But the first set of hands, the fists are tightly clenched, okay? Really, really tightly clenched. And of course, the water pours all over the hands, but when the hands open up, they're completely dry on the inside. Yeah? You ever done this? You can try this at home too while you're listening to the angels. Well, if you're in the bathroom, you might not want to take any electrical devices in there, but no, don't want to be advocating that. But there was tightly held hands. And then I saw these hands open up like that. And then, of course, what happens to the water? It's just gathered in, isn't it? Okay? I mean, that is a viable way to drink, all of you scouts, you know, on a hike. Okay? So there's... That was the picture I had. So after the worship is finished, I share that picture. Alistair then says, "What was that thing at the leadership summit about digging ditches?" Or digging trenches, I think he said. And so we knocked it to and fro because, I mean, there's two preachers sitting at the table. We're not going to let this pass. We're going to try and find the biblical verse without opening a Bible because it proves how spiritual we are. And we tried it and failed completely. And I said, "Well, is it that bit with, you know, Jeremiah and the cisterns?" "No, it's not that. Is it this?" "No, it's not that." I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the best concordance in the world. It's called Google. And did you know this? If you have a fragment of a bit of scripture in your head, Google is brilliant. It's just great. And if you want to go to Bible Gateway, you just put in the fragment of the verse in Bible Gateway. It's almost better than Bible Gateway's own search. It's brilliant. So I put in digging trenches and Google and Bible Gateway. Press return. Does everybody know what Google is? It's a way of searching the internet. I just realize I may have assumed a bit of knowledge there. And when I hit return, right at the top, which means the best match, was this passage from 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 to 20. Now, I know that 2 Kings is your favorite book. And in your head, you got all the kings of Israel and Judah all lined up there. Perhaps not. Unless you're brought up in the Brethren Church, in which case you would have done exactly that. And you might know what this story is. We're going to read it together in just a moment. But the word of God breaks in through Alistair. He's saying that, and we find the scripture. And then we read the scripture, and the scripture starts speaking to us. And Alistair says at the end of it, "How am I going to minute that?" So here you have an approved extract minute of what happened at leadership team. At this point, the word of the Lord came to the meeting through a testimony from a song from Jason Upton and through 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 to 20, which led to a discussion about the prophetic in the presence of angels. Leadership team was greatly encouraged. That's how it should work. When the word of God impacts us, meets us at our point. Here's the thing. Oh, no, you got to come out. I'm going to give you the licorice stick of power, and you can share with us. Maria.
After Clanlothians, the Sunday where we had lunches last time, there was a lady that came up, and she'd been at Clanlothians, and she'd left a Bible behind, and she was sitting with Johnny, Kate, and myself at lunch, and she said, I don't know why, but God told me to come to the church, and she was talking about Clan and how there's going to be prayer gatherings for the future of Clan. And that was the exact passage she had about digging the trenches.
No
the
way.
Water.
No way. I see now this is... Oh, well, it would be spooky, but it's the Holy Ghost. He's not spooky. He's just amazing. Now, so 2 Kings 3, would you like to open up your scriptures to page 364? And this is about a fight. It's about a war. Okay? I'm just going to tell you at the start, some of the characters involved in this story are not very good people, and they are getting ready to fight a war. So you wonder, what on earth are we going to learn through this? You'll find it on page 364 of the Old Testament sections of your pew Bibles. In the 8th, now, there's a bit of background. After King David came Solomon. And then Solomon's son started to put heavy taxes on the Jewish people to kind of continue the great kingdom that they were building. And they were so onerous that the top 10 tribes split away. And they are called Israel. Okay, I know the whole thing's called Israel. It's very confusing. The top bit's called Israel, and the bottom bit's called Judah. Judah's where Jerusalem is, and is made up of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. So you're going to hear reference to Israel. That's the top bit of the 10 tribes. And you're going to hear reference to Judah. That's the bottom bit of those two tribes, okay? Just in case you didn't know that. So this is after David, but a long time ago. So some hundreds of years before Jesus. So in the 18th year of the reign of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, Joram, son of Ahab, was Ahab a good king? No, he was not. Became king of Israel, and he ruled in Samaria for 12 years. He sinned against the Lord, but he was not as bad as his father or his mother Jezebel. He pulled down the image of his father had made for the worship of Baal. Yet like King Jeroboam, son of Nebat, before him, he led Israel into sin and would not stop. King Misha of Moab bred sheep, and every year he gave as a tribute to the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool from 100,000 sheep. But when King Ahab of Israel died, Misha rebelled against Israel. At once King Joram left Samaria and gathered all his troops. He sent word to King Jehoshaphat of Judah, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you join me in a war against him?" "I will," King Jehoshaphat replied. "I'm at your disposal." Now, King Jehoshaphat, was he a good guy? Yes, he was. King Jehoshaphat was a very good guy. In fact, I'm looking forward to meeting him. He really is. He's kind of a biblical hero. And those of you of a certain age will remember Don Francisco's song about great jumping Jehoshaphat. Okay. So, "I'm at your disposal," says King Jehoshaphat, "and so are my men and my horses. What route shall we take for the attack?" "We will go the long way through the wilderness of Edom," Joram answered. So King Joram and the kings of Judah and Edom set out. And after marching for 7 days, they ran out of water. Now, are these people marching through the Scottish Highlands? No. Is there a lot of water around? No. They are marching in a dust bowl, okay? So running out of water is a serious issue. "There was none left for the men or for the pack animals. "We're done for," King Joram exclaimed. "The Lord has put the three of us at the mercy of the king of Moab." King Jehoshaphat asked, now this is fascinating, "Are they in trouble?" Yes. What does Jehoshaphat ask for? He says, "Is there a prophet here through whom we can consult the Lord?" Isn't that interesting? Is there a prophet? I'm looking for someone who can hear God. An officer of King Joram's forces answered, "Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He was Elijah's assistant." "He's a true prophet," King Jehoshaphat said. So the three kings went to Elisha. Listen to this. "Why should I help you?" Elisha said to the king of Israel. He had some courage. "Go and consult those prophets that your father and mother consulted." So Elisha's basically saying, "Oh, why don't you go check out those rubbish prophets that they consulted?" "No," Joram replied. "It is the Lord who has put us three kings at the mercy of the king of Moab." And Elisha answered, "By the living Lord whom I serve, I swear that I would have nothing to do with you if I didn't respect your ally, King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Now get me a musician." Would that be your first, if you wanted to hear God? What did we just do this morning? As Peter led the musicians this morning. You see, the things that we do have a deep, deep biblical structure to them. We hardly even realize that we're doing it. As we worship the Lord, as we draw near to Him, He's never far away from us. As we draw near to Him, He starts to speak to us. And then we know the way to go. That's how it works. As the musician played his harp, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, "This is what the Lord says, dig ditches all over this dry stream bed." What do you think their response to that was going to be? "Dig ditches. Even though you will not see any rain or wind, the stream bed will be filled with water, and you, your livestock, and your pack animals will have plenty to drink." And Elisha continued, "But this is an easy thing for the Lord to do. He'll also give you victory over the Moabites. You'll conquer all their fortified cities, and you'll cut down their fruit trees and stop their springs, ruin their fertile fields by covering them with stones." Right. Can I just say, how many of you was that the first time that you've ever heard that passage? Okay, there you go. Well, 2 Kings chapter 3. It'd been ages since I'd heard that, and I'd even forgotten the teaching we'd had at the Global Leadership Summit. But it's a good story, and it's a story of God interacting in a time of need with His people. So God interrupted our leadership team meeting with that passage. Jehoshaphat and Elisha are the faithful guys through whom the Lord's work is able to happen, through which the army is saved. Digging ditches. Digging ditches. This is the Gordon Highlanders, by the way. I thought we'd have some good Scotsmen digging ditches in the desert. And it's a shame David McNeil's not here, because he's a good Scotsman who dug ditches in the desert. William, when you were in the... did you dig ditches? Oh, see that. So here's the Gordon Highlanders digging ditches. Digging ditches. Who here has ever dug a ditch? Keep your hand up if it's back-breaking, miserable, boring, horrible, yucky work. Okay. Would you like to know what there's been in Mahus for the last, nearly a year? A thumping great big ditch. In fact, the ditch runs all the way around the garage and then into the neighbor's garden. Thankfully, we've got their permission for that. Digging ditches. And the deeper you dig the ditch, the harder it is. Never arm wrestle a grave digger. That's what I say. You know, it's just when you get down to the deepest bits, you have to lift it way above your head and get it out. It is hard, back-breaking work. Digging ditches. So what happens in the story is that people who are demotivated from any kind of physical work. They've walked themselves to a standstill in the desert. They're dying of thirst. And God says to them, dig ditches. Dig ditches. It's time to dig ditches. So you can imagine that somewhere in their exhausted pack animals, they maybe have, I know this is a shoveling shovel, not a digging shovel, okay? Somewhere there will be a digging shovel. But we have got, I believe this is a grubbing mattock, okay? For those of you who are picky about your picks. And that's for breaking up with the soil. And wielding these things requires physical effort. Just around about us, we've got the railways, which were built by the navvies, who did riot and kill a policeman back in the day in Gore Bridge. So, and those navvies were fed a diet of meat and beer. It was reckoned the navvies could do the work of 4 farm laborers once they'd been trained up to strength. Took 2 years. And of course, when they got drunk and it all kicked off, all kinds of mayhem broke loose. Many of them were Irish, which is a repeating theme today. However, digging ditches is back-breaking work. Could they see the water that was going to fill the ditch? No. All they've got is a dried riverbed. And what God's saying is you don't want a dry riverbed. You want deep pools if you're going to drink. Because if you've just got a dry riverbed that's just a few inches deep, the water's going to come past. And maybe the water will keep going past and you'll have lost it. You'll see my provision just rolling straight past you, but you will not be able to take advantage of it, but for a little bit, because there's nowhere for the blessing to collect. Dig ditches, says God through Elisha. And you better believe it's because Jehoshaphat, the faithful king, was part of that gathering that they commanded the men, and they said, right, guys, we know you're thirsty, but guess what? We're the king. We say, dig. And I would wager that Jehoshaphat, being wired the way he was, got a shovel himself. And they start excavating the dry riverbed, excavating it, digging it out. The stour rising up in their nostrils, their parched throats, you know, just longing for a bit of water. And grumbling would begin, would it not? Be saying, how are we ever going to see water here? This is a dry, dusty riverbed. Great. I was just going to die lying on my back. Now I'm going to die digging in my own grave. You know, you could just hear moaning, 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 moaning. Okay? It's time to dig ditches. So why would we dig the ditches? Because it's to catch the flood of God's blessing. It's to catch the flood of God's blessing. Here we are in Scotland in 2013. The church is shriveling. We lost another 15,000 members in the Church of Scotland last year, most of them through death. We're on the back foot. You look around Scotland and you look for the prevailing churches, and you could probably number them on the fingers of 2 hands. And very few of them are in our denomination. There's bits and pieces. There's little signs of life, but we really are on the back foot. What does it mean to dig ditches? What does it mean to dig ditches? The word of the Lord came through the leadership team. We're going to be running it past the Kirk session, of course. The word of the Lord comes from the lady who left her Bible, who drove all the way from Berwick-upon-Tweed, all the way up here to get her Bible, and says, oh, by the way, 2 Kings chapter 3, which is, I didn't know that. I was praying with someone a week ago before all this happened, a week and a half ago, and I got, all I can see is streams in the desert. And when I was saying it, I was thinking, oh, that's a bit kind of hackneyed biblical image, but I had to be honest and say it, streams in the desert. Got the picture of the tight hands and the open hands, and then Alistair says, where's that story? And we look it up, and it's this story here. So this is, in all likelihood, as your teaching elder, I'm pointing us in this direction as a word in season for us. How do we dig ditches to catch God's blessing? Well, here's one. Anyone get the advertiser this week? Hands up if you've seen the front page of the Advertiser. Oh, okay. Welfare demands bite. And then there's a worrying story about how in the last year there's been a doubling in rent arrears in Midlothian. And then it says, as low-wage households struggle to cope with limited budgets, Midlothian Council is bracing itself for the additional administrative demands. And then the next paragraph says something that, if you're one of me, is really quite surprising. The council is working closely with local churches to establish a Trussell Trust food bank and has committed $1,500 to the startup costs. Who? Who's committed to starting up a Trussell Trust food bank? We've committed to start up a Trussell Trust food bank. We did. We did it last November. And I remember the session meeting, and we're knocking it to and from. We're saying, can we do this? How do we get it? How do we find money to pay someone? And all I could say is, I believe that God is calling us to do this. That's what this is for. Was there a food bank in Gore Bridge at that point? No. And when we went to see Ewan Gurr, who was the guy God led us to, because Alan Eaglesham knows his dad, and he turns out to be the major domo of food banks in the entire nation of Scotland, even though he's just in his mid-20s, he says, you don't want to build a food bank for Gore Bridge. You want to build one for Midlothian. Which is effectively saying to us, thirsty soldier, you don't want to just dig a ditch for you. You want to dig a ditch for your entire platoon and the pack animals. And you know what? The king really shouldn't be digging. It's not his gig. So why don't you dig it deeper for him too? Digging ditches. We're digging ditches. You imagine that through Midlothian in the next few months, there is grace flowing to set up a food bank. How would we catch it? Makes me wonder how many times has God sent favor, sent provision, sent people through our hands, and they've just passed us by because we didn't realize that even though the riverbed was dry, there was no evidence that we had enough to make it happen, that actually God was calling us to get our shovels out and to dig ditches, to deepen the channel, so when the blessing comes through, we can contain it. How many times? But the great thing about God is he very rarely says if. And he's always up to something. And he's just looking for a lovely, wonderful, friendly, Jesus-filled bunch of nut jobs who are willing to dig ditches in the dry season when they're exhausted. Reinhard Bonnke, one of my heroes, if you've never heard of him, you have now. That man will be responsible for tens of millions of Africans being in glory. And Reinhard says, as I've said to you before, an oak tree is just a little nut that refused to yield its ground. Every oak tree you've sheltered under started off as a little seedling. We dig ditches. We dig ditches. So here's my prophecy. The Lord is pouring blessing through at the moment. And he's looking to find out who's ready to dig ditches. Let me give you some more examples. In fact, now that I've given you an example and you're beginning to go, I'm getting the hang of this, have a chat with your neighbor. What are some of the ditches that we're digging at the moment? Palpable silence. What are some of the ditches? Just call some out, yeah. The community recycling project. Let me tell you this. The community recycling project has committed more money to the Midlothian Food Bank than Midlothian Council. You hearing me? Agnes and her team of doughty cafe attendants and kind of jumble entrepreneurs have turned the extra household goods of Gorebridge Parish and surrounding districts into resource that is more important to Midlothian Food Bank at the moment than Midlothian Council. So we will say thank you very much to Midlothian Council for the startup grant, but there are loads others. At the moment, we're sitting about 18,000 of funding for that. And I have to say a huge thank you to the wonderful Fee, who is helping dig ditches. And Audrey McLaren, she's digging a ditch at the moment to try and catch 48,000 pounds. See if we manage to land that one. We've just created a brand new job, which means, God willing, Janice gets a new job, and someone else gets her old job. To which, both of which, she says, hallelujah. Digging ditches. Any other ditches we're digging at the moment? Christians Against Poverty. Sorry, who said that? Right on the money. We've got Jackie Campbell has stepped into the breach. She's going to be our local liaison person for Christians Against Poverty. And as we were reading about the difficulty of rent arrears and the trouble that people are having, you have to wait 6 weeks or more for the Citizens Advice Bureau to look over your financial affairs. Christians Against Poverty is a fantastic ministry. Pete and I went down to visit what they're doing. John Kirkby and all the rest of them are doing in Bradford. It is amazing. I think it's God's grace that one of the most generous-hearted financial ministries has actually come out of Yorkshire, thinking that one of the definitions of a Yorkshireman is a Scotsman stripped of his generosity. So out of Bradford has flowed. And every time someone gets debt-free, they ring their fire bell. I don't know if they were saving up, but we did hear them ring it. We did, and they gathered a meeting, and they prayed for the person, and they just celebrated the fact that someone else had got debt-free. Christians Against Poverty is working in Gorebridge. We've dug a ditch. And when we were going to dig that ditch, I was saying to the leadership team and saying to the Kirk Session, how are we going to fund this? We need to find $3,000 a year to partner because Pennycook have dug a ditch. They've dug a ditch of having a Midlothian Cap Center. How are we going to support Joyce McLean and Ian Cathcart and the great work that's going on there? Because we didn't have $3,000 in our budget to give them, frankly. Why? Because we dug another ditch. His name is Ross. Oh, yes. Ross was digging a ditch. No church I know this size has a youth minister who works the hours he does for us. None. We are the only one. I keep looking and seeing. And that's not to big us up, because it's just to say we dug a ditch. And I was chatting with John McPake, who's a minister in Liberton, and he saw Ross in his early years and said, oh, you could just see his heart for young people. You just knew he had to get somewhere, and we managed to make it here. Why? Because we dug a ditch. I said to you guys, at one point, I need extra support so we can get Ross full time. And you guys, in addition to the giving that you're bringing into the church, found another £450 a month. Digging ditches. And one of the stories I loved about that is one of the people who stepped up to the mark said, I've just finished paying off my mortgage. And I was wondering what I ought to do with that money. They dug a ditch. Instead of paying off their mortgage, they're helping finance Ross. Just awesome. Digging a ditch. Fee's digging a ditch. She assists me in the office. Clan Lothians couldn't have happened. The fun day couldn't have happened. Ooh, Clan Lothians, that was digging a ditch. And the fun day, that was digging a ditch. We dug a ditch so deep that day that 400 people came out of the local community, and while their kids were getting cheap popcorn and were making crafts with Scripture Union, some of their parents were queuing for prayer. Meanwhile, there's teams of people going out trying to find folks, you remember the treasure hunt thing, and bringing the word of the Lord to them. And when we figured out who they are, guess who's getting an Alpha invite this year? Oh, did a weird thing happen to you last? We'd like to come along. We'd like to feed you as well as freaking you out. There we go. Digging a ditch. Chatting with a lady who said that after the fun day, it was the talk of the town for the next week. And the fascinating thing was people were saying it was a different atmosphere. Part of the different atmosphere was the kids could do stuff and they didn't have to ask their parents for any money. Some lady had brought their family and they'd been fed and entertained for the afternoon. She said, it cost me £2. Digging a ditch. How else are we digging a ditch? Any other thoughts? Mad. Yes. Mad's a lovely one because we've been wanting to dig that ditch for years. And we couldn't figure out how. And I remember when the leadership team first looked into doing MAD, we sent them off to Central Baptist Church, and they came back with a health and safety document the thickness of a yellow pages. And we said, ooh. Right, okay. We've not done it that way. Okay. But I can tell you there is someone whose kitchen is yellow, who has new beds and furniture, repainted doors. They're getting new carpets this week. Because making a difference landed on their doorstep. Turns out this family's in a little bit of financial trouble. Well, guess who dropped round last week? Joyce McLean from the CAP Center in Midlothian. And guess where some of the stuff that's in her house now came from? The community recycling project. You see, we're digging ditches. We're digging ditches and we're digging them deep. So how do we dig ditches? How do we dig them? Here's the hard work. I have seen my responsibility levels go from kind of here to 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 here. I'm now the line manager for a whole bunch of people. They never trained me for that. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. But it's fun, but it's a big responsibility, you know? I think I'm figuring it through. None of them have left yet. But it's hard work. It means every now and then we come to you and we say, do you know what? We're not quite making ends meet. Can you just have a look? What I want to do actually is, Alan's going to be preaching about this next week at communion. So please do come, okay? Don't not come. But I was thinking, could we try a wee prayer experiment? Because we've got another ditch we've dug. We've set up a prayer room. 24/7 prayer is a ditch and a half. Because everything that we see in the work of the kingdom is birthed in prayer. We are seeing things happen that our forefathers and mothers prayed for. Well, I've spoken before about Ian Purvis. And he was praying for some of the things that are happening now, 30 years ago. Because I know some of you think Ian's a new guy, but he's really he's recycled. It's lovely. So there's all of that stuff's happening. We're digging ditches. We're digging ditches in prayer. And wouldn't it be fun? And I'm looking for some volunteers. Right, I'm going to tell you a story. I think this is of the Lord, okay? All right. Andrew Don is a lovely guy from Pennycook who's married to an atheist. And he's an ordained local minister. And I had a chat with him because I was line managing him for a while. I'll tell you what, this is some job. And I was sitting chatting with him, and he said, we're talking about giving, and he was saying, do you know what? I'm married to an atheist, so it's really difficult to tithe. But I wanted to tithe. I had that sense, we should tithe. So what I did is I said, I had a chat with my wife. I said, I know you don't believe God exists, because that's, hi there. I know you don't believe God exists. That's the kind of definition of an atheist. But what say, every time I get a pay increase, I give half of that to the church until the point where I'm giving 10% of my income. And I'll pray that God will get me some promotions. So atheist wife, cunning ploy, don't believe in your God, but I mean, if you believe that's okay, fair enough. That seems fair enough, doesn't it? That half of the stuff that isn't there ends up with a church. Well, if it happens, it happens. And that's how he got to tithe, is because he just ramped it up. He just said, so what I want to do is offer to pray for some of you. Some of you will have this kind of, hang on a minute. Ask for God's financial favor on you and just get things working. On the understanding, especially, I know for some of you, you know, this will be a difficult conversation over the breakfast table, but something like, do you know what? I know this is not your, really your thing, but I think God wants to increase our income as a family, so long as I can give half of that to the church until we're given like 10% of what's coming in. What do you say? I know. Or something like that. It doesn't have to be like that. But I'd love to pray with you. Because I believe God is sending a river through, and we got to dig ditches. And if your ditch dug is saying, for every 2 quid I get in, I'm going to give an extra quid until I'm giving proportionately, or whatever it may be, we're digging ditches. At BC, that's hard work, isn't it? That's not an easy decision to make. That's not an easy thing to do. Digging ditches is hard work. The other thing is when you're thirsty, digging ditches seems risky. John Wimber used to say that faith is spelt R-I-S-K, ridiculous Californian. It's not even got 5 letters. Okay? Faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And he used to amble on like Santa in a Hawaiian shirt, because that's what he looked like. He was just a lovely guy. And he said, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And he risked and he risked and he risked and he risked. And he's one of my heroes of the faith, John Wimber. And when you're thirsty, when you're stretched, when the church budget is full, when you don't have any time, when you're doing as much as you can, and God says, do you know what? Dig a ditch. Our temptation is to say, beat it. But you can't say that to God, can you? Because he's God. So we say it quietly. You know, God wants me to muck in with his church. God wants me to serve in this capacity. It's difficult just now. And I love things when they're fun to run and they're fun to be a part of, but sometimes it's hard and it's risky. And life isn't, we're not living a dress rehearsal. This is it. One pass through. It's time to dig ditches. Because I want to catch the flood of God's blessing. I was chatting this week with Richard. This is not going to be a very comfortable reading, okay? But it just so happens that some of the prospering congregations in Scotland are led by Englishmen. And I don't know if you're uncomfortable about that because they're English or they're men. But it's a fact, okay? And I've observed this. Being of English stock, but I was born and brought up in Scotland, even though I sound like I come from, I don't know, Poland or something. Anyway, so that I observe this, and it's true. But hand on heart, not everybody who goes to their churches is English, and you know, it's just one of those things. But I'm longing for God to raise up Scottish people in Scotland to reach Scotland, you know, every part of the community. You know, I really am. From the Highlands and Islands all the way down to sort of Ayrshire. And I'd love it if the Scots invaded England. And we seem to be able to do it with politicians, but we struggle a bit with church leaders. So, I had a chat with some leadership, some of these English guys. And to be fair, it's an Episcopal church. And they were saying every time their church has grown, they've taken on more staff before they grew. They've taken on more staff before they grew. You want a ditch to dig? There's a ditch to dig. How much wiggle room do we have in the budget at the moment? None. Okay? None. Absolutely none. Should we be taking on staff at the moment? Well, if the river of God's blessing flows through, how do we catch that? And I'm beginning to ask myself that question. Is this church as big as I can lead it? Probably is. Just raising the question. That'll be digging a ditch. Anyway, I'll leave you to pray about that and come back to me with some thoughts. I need to finish. Look at the next line. Did you see the first song that Pete picked for today talked about water in the desert? I'm in a moment here. Let's stand, let's pray.